Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's the true life story of a couple who became homeless and walked along the South English coast. A film adaptation of The Salt Path, starring Gillian Anderson, is currently enjoying some box office success, but the veracity of the events it's all based on has suddenly been called into question. A recent investigation by The Observer has alleged the author misrepresented some of the events in her book. Well, here to tell us more is the investigative journalist who broke the story, Chloe Hadjimatheu. Chloe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, for people who mightn't have read The Salt Path, will you just remind us a little bit about the book? Tell us about it. It's the story of Rainer Wynne and her husband, Moth.
That's right. So, Penguin, who published the book, called it Unflinchingly Honest. Rainer Wynne tells the story of her and her husband, Moth, how they lost their home after they were conned out of it by a close friend of Moth's, who encouraged them to enter a business deal and then claimed they were responsible for his debts. They went to court, and the court ruled that their home had to be repossessed by this friend to pay for his debts. They then, within the same week as learning that they were losing their home, had a terminal diagnosis of a rare neurological condition for Moth. And with nowhere to go and just devastated by this diagnosis, the couple made a sort of radical decision, really, to walk the southwest coastal path and free camp along the way. And they did this over months. And the book essentially tells the story of their journey on the southwest coastal path. And importantly, as the journey goes on, Moth goes from being really quite unwell with symptoms of this neurological condition to feeling better. And by the end of the book, really, those symptoms have subsided, and the book seems to suggest quite strongly that the walk helped cure or at least abate the symptoms of this condition for Moth.
Okay, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But the book was very successful, wasn't it?
I think it's really hard to overstate how successful it was. I think it's one of the most successful non-fiction books in the UK in the last decade. It sold 2 million copies. It's been translated into 25 languages. And as you alluded to earlier, it's now a film in the cinema.
And it stars Gillian Anderson and Jacek Isaacs in the leading role. So all is well up to that point. And then your investigation, which was published in The Observer, changed things. How did that investigation come about, Chloe?
So I got a tip-off, as sometimes happens. People contact journalists and say, I think you should look at this. I had a tip-off. I had no idea whether there was anything to it. I immediately contacted Rainer and Moth and suggested an interview and asked some questions, but they weren't forthcoming. They didn't grant me an interview and they wouldn't engage with my questions. So I went off and began my investigations. And what I found was that, in fact, the way they lost their home was very different from what was told in the book. In reality, what happened was that Rainer Wynne, who was then known as Sally Walker, that's her legal name, was living in the north of Wales in a small town, and she was a bookkeeper, essentially, doing the accounts for a small estate agent. And that estate agent noticed something funny going on, money missing. And after digging into their books, they realised that over the 6 or 7 years that Sally Walker, who's Rainer Wynne, was working for them, over £60,000 had gone missing. They went to the police and they reported their suspicions. Sally Walker was arrested and questioned. Her home was searched. And then she went missing. What I found was that she had gone to London and borrowed money from a rich relative of Moth's, more than £100,000. That loan was then put against their house. And Sally Walker used it to pay back the missing money at the estate agent and cover legal costs on both sides and essentially reach an agreement where criminal charges against her would no longer be pursued. But in the process, that loan went against their home. When they weren't able to pay it, about 5 years later, the court found against them. And after a long period of time, I can say that from the moment the court reached the decision that their house should be repossessed, they had around 6 months before the bailiffs moved in and eventually did take their home from them. Mm-hmm. I also found that their claims that they were entirely destitute after they lost their home weren't, well, it wasn't quite right, because I found that they also own a property in France. I went and visited, and that property is pretty run down and derelict now. But I was told by neighbours they've camped on the land before, so they did have somewhere else they potentially could have stayed.
Right, and they say in their response that was an uninhabitable ruin in a bramble patch. And just going back to the case of the previous employer and the alleged fraud, she does reference that in her statement, doesn't she? Any mistakes I made during the years in that office, so in that job, I deeply regret and I'm truly sorry. But she said the case had been settled between her and her ex-employer on a non-admissions basis. But that's where that borrowed money comes in. You're saying that she used that money to pay back the employer and deal with the legal costs. But then the debt that came from doing that led to the other problems around the house.
Yeah, that's right. And in essence, she doesn't deny that. She goes into a bit more detail around the loan, that £100,000 loan, how it came about. And she disputes that it was simply a loan. She says that the man who lent it to them owed them money. But I've found subsequent evidence that shows that during the time of the request for repayment of that loan, her and her solicitor and Tim Walker, which is Moth's legal name, they weren't disputing that loan at the time. Mm-hmm. So in essence, she's confirmed what my investigation uncovered.
So your investigation also raises questions around her husband Moth's diagnosis. Tell us a bit about that.
So I spoke to around 9 neurologists who specialise specifically in this condition, neurologists and researchers. It's as I mentioned before, a pretty rare condition, and it's a pretty devastating one. It's really quite nasty. Usually life expectancy is short, about 6 to 8 years from onset of symptoms. And the people that I spoke to said that they had never come across a case like Moth's before, because he was diagnosed in 2013, but he had already been having symptoms for 6 years. So that means that today he's had the condition for 18 years. And in interviews he's given recently, he doesn't seem to have any acute symptoms, nothing particularly visible wrong with him. And he also makes this claim, Raina Wynn certainly makes this claim in her books. Each book follows, there's 3 of them now that have been released. Each one follows a very similar pattern, that he's very, very ill at the beginning of the book. And by the end of a very long, incredibly arduous walk, essentially that walk has cured him. And particularly in her third book, she describes a brain scan at the beginning of the book showing that his brain is essentially closing down because of this neurological condition. And by the end of the book, a second brain scan shows something completely different. The doctor tells him this brain scan shows a normal brain. So in essence, the condition has vanished, and they put that down to the rigorous walk. Mm-hmm. Well, the neurologist that I spoke to said, it's not possible for you to reverse the symptoms of this condition. The way that this condition works in the brain is that the brain is destroyed, and it's not possible then for the brain to rejuvenate in some way. So they questioned the way in which he's described his symptoms and the progress of his condition.
Right. And in that statement in response, she says, I've never sought to offer medical advice in my books or suggest that walking might be some sort of miracle cure for CBS. But what you say the books do is tell us that walking in some way helped reverse the symptoms of his condition. What's been the fallout for them? Because there was supposed to be a fourth book published this year. That's now not happening, is it?
Well, it's been postponed. Penguin have been quite clear that they're sticking by, rain or win. They've said that they've postponed the release of the fourth book, which was due in October, because of the author saying that she suffered considerable distress after the revelations in the investigation. I should also say that Rain or Win, on her website, posted three medical letters showing that Moth has had some kind of diagnosis for a neurological condition and CBS symptoms, although those seem to have been incredibly mild and very, very slow progressing. They've said that his case is not typical, and they actually, the doctors tell him not to be too concerned that it's classic CBS when he goes and looks on a website that they recommend for him.
What do you think is the fallout from all of this, Chloe? I know you've been monitoring it, you're right in the middle of it, but in terms of publishing, the film industry, it has had many repercussions in the short time since your piece has been published.
Well, I think that the most interesting thing about it is that it started to raise real questions about the responsibility of publishers when they publish a book that they claim is true, unflinchingly honest, as Penguin described this book. People are asking what steps publishers take to fact check these books, particularly when they make claims to cure somebody or bold claims about health. And so I think now is a moment where there's a lot of questions and reflections on the publishing industry, and they may have to think again as they go forward with these kinds of publications.
Well, this is one that is still developing, but Chloe, thank you for telling us about the story behind The Salt Path. That is Chloe Hadjimatheo.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.